You're listening to The Bulletin with UBS, first broadcast on the 31st of May 2015 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're opening up the UBS PwC 2015 Billionaire Report and exploring the creation, preservation and philanthropic uses of extreme wealth. The report's authors and contributors are going to join us to identify some of the characteristics of the new breed of billionaire, explain the drivers behind extreme growth and reveal how billionaires are putting sustainability and socially responsible investment at the heart of their long-term wealth strategies. We start with an overview of the report's key findings. What were the central ambitions of this research? Matthias Memminger from PwC is an expert in wealth management and large global banks.
There's a lot of data on billionaires. There's a lot of lists. There's a lot of research in market sizing and so on. And I think the goal was really to start with the numbers, but then really drill down into the patterns of this group of people and really understand and get insights what this group really makes them tick. And I think the three topics we were interested in was A, to get an historic perspective to see how great wealth has developed over the last 100 years. Secondly, how great wealth is created, so basically the entrepreneurs that create such a great wealth. And lastly, how it's actually preserved. So how does it move from the first generation over to the second, third, fourth generation?
Joe Stadler, Global Head of Ultra High Net Worth Business at UBS and a member of the Executive Committee of Wealth Management, explains that there are three key characteristics that distinguish billionaires from the rest of the business world.
First, they are spotting opportunities which others don't. Once they find those opportunities attractive to exploit, they usually take calculated yet big risks. For them, the value, the optionality of the opportunity is bigger than the potential downside. That really sets them apart from the rest of the business world. Second characteristics, billionaires behave like fighter pilots. They hone in on a target and they don't let loose. They don't look left, they don't look right. They're excessively focused, even obsessively focused and determined to reach their target and to reach their objectives. And the third one, for me, even the most important one, mistakes and failures are part of a billionaire's business model. I wouldn't say thrive on failures, but they accept those failures and they align and adjust their strategy, but they will never give up. So these are the characteristics, the commonalities in billionaires' behavior.
Simon Smiles is UBS Chief Investment Officer for Ultra High Net Worth, and he explains how the Billionaire Report findings fit into the provision of broader investment advice.
Well, it's incredibly interesting and very detailed and granular look at the wider, you know, billionaire population. Some major megatrends there. I think what resonated with me and how it dovetails into the investment advice I'm giving to these kind of clients was the finding about the millennials, you know, greater interest in both philanthropy but also social investing and impact investing.
There's an overlay of four megatrends identified in the report that foster wealth creation over time and which also help to explain differentiators across time zones and nationalities. Joe Stadler of UBS explains each of the four in turn and how these phenomena shape the environment.
So between, I would say, 1995 and 2015, we call it the second Gilded Age after the first Gilded Age that ended before World War I. It's an age where capitalism was allowed to thrive, regulation was relatively benign, and entrepreneurship was honored and cherished. The flip side of the second Gilded Age, today, as we had in 1900 to 1910, we observe a wealth concentration that is unparalleled. And that may be the reason why the wealth creation will eventually level off, as it did after the first Gilded Age.
The second megatrend is the creation of this extreme wealth by entrepreneurs. Joe Stadler explains why entrepreneurship is a key driver of wealth creation globally.
The second megatrend is that the majority of wealth, we talk about $3.5 trillion, the majority of that wealth has been created by entrepreneurs, self-made billionaires, who created wealth from scratch. Within that second megatrend, you see that the United States is still producing most of the billionaires, and the wealth pool is still the biggest, yet it may not be surprising that Asia has overtaken Europe. And the self-made billionaire wealth creation, 36% of it comes from Asia, 47% of it is still from the United States, and only 17% came from Europe.
And the third megatrend?
There is a difference between industries across time zones where billionaires created their wealth. If you look at the United States, most of the wealth was created from the technology industry and the financial industry. In Asia, it's the opposite. Asia is profiting and taking advantage from the mass industrialization and its impact. So you see many billionaires coming out of the real estate industry, retail, and construction. Also, there is a difference in who is creating wealth. Is it males or females? So it's a gender difference. And you see many female entrepreneurs, especially in Asia. And the final differentiator is age. The billionaires get younger when they get to a billion or more, yet they live longer, so the average age of a billionaire goes up.
The fourth megatrend is the imminent and unprecedented transfer of wealth, both between generations and through philanthropic activities.
There will be an unprecedented amount of wealth being transferred within the next 10 to 15 years, be it within the family, and then you talk about family succession issues that need to be resolved, or outside of the family, and then you talk about philanthropic activities. That trend is accelerating, with the United States being in the lead on the philanthropic route, whereas Asia is mainly family succession focused, and Europe is busy transferring generational wealth from fourth, from fifth or sixth to seventh or eighth generation. So these are the three differentiators within the fourth megatrend.
UBS's Joe Stadler there explaining the megatrends shaping the billionaire's world. Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look to the future and consider how philanthropic giving will reshape the landscape. And we'll consider the characteristics and traits that define this new generation of billionaires. Let's look next at the traits, if indeed there are any, that define this group of billionaires. John Matthews is head of private wealth management in the ultra-high net worth client segment for Wealth Management Americas in the US. He appraises the report's findings in terms of the billionaires themselves and tells us what makes them tick. First up, they're smart risk takers.
You know, most billionaires, they got to where they were or where they are today by being really smart risk takers. They understand their businesses and their industries better than anyone. And so they have more information about what they're trying to accomplish. And so they're really smart when it comes to taking risks. They're obsessive in their business focuses. They know what the customers need. They identify the opportunities. We call it tunnel vision kicks in. And they're very determined. And what I would tell people about billionaires, their risk appetite's different than most investors. They're more concerned about missed opportunity than they are about downside risk. And so they're obsessively focused on finding that next opportunity so they don't miss out on it. It's the whole risk of missing out on things. And those, I mean, maybe that's would be intuitive, we would expect that, but that's a real common trait, especially on the self-made billionaire front.
What does Matthias Memminger make of this group?
We started first with research to kind of understand what are things that, what are kind of the hypotheses that we should go in. And I think very soon, especially there's a big empirical research on entrepreneurs and what makes ultra-successful entrepreneurs tick and what sets them apart from the rest. And I think that kind of comes down to 5 to 7 factors. And the three we mentioned are in there as well. So we kind of came in with some ideas what to expect. But I think what really in the discussions became very apparent is the intenseness of these people. I mean, they're not loud or kind of especially extrovert, but they're very intense in sometimes very subliminal ways. And that is also reflected in the way that they look at risks, which I think is the other thing that really sets them apart, is risk for them is something positive. I mean, they basically have the attitude that the biggest business opportunities are where the biggest risks are. And they basically say a risk is not for me a threat to lose something, but it's actually the opportunity to gain something, which is different from me, for instance. I mean, if I look at the risk, it's always what do I lose if I take that risk? So it's totally flipped in that risk equation. And I think this is something that is very, very different from other that I normally work with.
So are there then standard qualities? And if there are, how does this affect behavior on the investment side? Simon Smiles explains.
When I'm talking to billionaire clients, there does tend to be still a fair degree of home bias, whether that's manifested in a preference for assets that they're familiar with based on their home country, or assets which are related to industries in which they've made their fortune or currently operate businesses. In terms of the single-mindedness that comes through the report, I guess that manifests itself with respect to investments in a greater desire for our billionaire clients to actually solely purchase direct investments rather than going to club deals or co-investments. We have a lot of demand at the moment, particularly from our Asian client base, for trophy European assets, you know, be it hotel chains or consumer brands. And thirdly, I guess that entrepreneurial spirit and directness, if you will, also is often manifested by the interest that these clients have in longer-term investments. Themes which over a long period of time are expected to play out, be it being driven by urbanisation, population growth or ageing, such as protein consumption, for example, agricultural land.
Finally, in this edition of the Bulletin with UBS, reviewing the UBS and PwC 2015 Billionaire Report, we're going to explore some historical perspectives, notably that provided by comparison of this latest era of wealth creation with the Gilded Age of the early 20th century. And we'll ask how different the philanthropic practices which followed that period will be, in contrast to today's creators of extreme wealth. First up, John Matthews talks us through the notion of a second Gilded Age.
We take a historical perspective around the whole billionaire phenomenon, and we looked at the past, and we're trying to, you know, it's not always a perfect indicator of the future, but I think it can give us some ideas. And we think we're certainly in a kind of a what we call the second Gilded Age. If you go back to the turn of the century in 1900, you go back and you look at the original entrepreneurial age where you were, especially in the U.S. and around the world, most of the wealth was created around industrial and manufacturing. It was rails, it was cars, it was steel, it was developing cities, and you had great wealth created. And then it came to an end with the Great Depression and wars. And for, you know, 50 years, it was the economy changed. It went kind of to a managerial economy until the 90s, and you saw this entrepreneurial age start to shoot back up again. And we don't think it'll last forever. We think, you know, we don't think this is a straight line phenomenon. We think we'll see some peaks and valleys on it, and we think it'll slow down the road.
But are the comparisons with that first Gilded Age justified? Very much so, says Matthias Memminger.
I think they're justified because if you look at the patterns of the first Gilded Age, which was like really closely linked to the Industrial Revolution, where a lot of the inventions that have made modern life only possible have been made, and the people that made these inventions and kind of commercialized them were the ones that then made these big wealth. And when you look at the last 20 years, most of the extreme wealth has been created in the US again, and then a little bit in Europe, and in the last 10 years also in Asia. It again is mainly people who, like on the internet side, I think internet and biochemistry, I think these are the two areas where it's most comparable, because people that made an invention or came up with an idea commercialized that, and these ideas have really changed how healthcare is working today and how technology, we are working with technology today.
Now, the first Gilded Age saw a host of social benefits from the philanthropy of its wealthiest, the likes of the Carnegies and Rockefellers. How much of a preoccupation is responsible giving of that sort for today's billionaires?
One of the most important things to a billionaire is their legacy. It's their name, as well as keeping all their wealth too, obviously. But their name's important, and how they preserve their legacy, one way to do it is by proper wealth transfer or proper planning. And a lot of times you can do that through philanthropic giving of some sort. You know, the biggest fear for this group is the old rags to riches to rags story, and there's plenty of them out there. And it's easy for that to happen through death, divorce, and taxes today. I mean, and so they're always trying to find the right wealth transfer policy for their own particular family. And philanthropy is one way to do it. As we tell a lot of our clients tell us, frankly, is that the best way to keep it is to sometimes to actually give it away.
When it comes to philanthropic giving, the regional variations are particularly important, according to Simon Smiles.
I think the experience of giving and potential interest in impact investing is definitely more pronounced in the US, perhaps less so in Europe, and it's relatively nascent in Asia. I think that's brought out by the report.
John Matthews expands on this point of geographical variation and takes up the story of how billionaires are giving away often vast parts of their fortunes.
You know, there's over 100 billionaires today that have pledged to give away over 50% of their wealth in the future. If you think about that, that's staggering. Now, there's some regional trends to that. In the U.S., there's much more giving than in Europe and in Asia. And the other specifics that we found on that is the wealthier the billionaire, the more inclined they are to give larger percentages away. And you may say, well, that's, you know, that's pretty common sense, right? Because they have a lot of money, they're still rich anyway. But we think we'll continue to see that trend. We think it'll expand. And frankly, the reason is over 60% of the billionaires on the planet today are over 60 years old. And so they're in that wealth transfer corridor. So they have to start making those decisions now.
And that's John Matthews bringing us to the end of this 34th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance, every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or SoundCloud. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.